Blog Talk Radio.
Man, I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Anything's possible.
RSC Renegade Radio. Where real guys talk real sports. Allow me to introduce the illustrious three-man booth.
I want winners.
What's your name, boy?
Mark the Game Changer.
What's your name, boy?
D-Well.
Now, ladies and gentlemen.
T.O.T. Sports Ph.D.
The world famous.
Ray.
They are who we thought they were.
We need more dollars.
RSG. Renegade Radio. The floodgates is about to open.
Everybody has an opinion.
Man must have a code.
We're taking RSG to the next level.
Hello. You play to win the game.
You could gripe about Mike's game, but I don't see shooting percentage being it.
I mean, I'm not griping the third overall player on my list.
Now, I blame it on Nintendo. It's provocative. He's real making excuses. You know, we're not going to make any excuses.
You need to move more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. Can't wait. Can you dig it, sucker?
Welcome to the Real Sports Guys on realsportsguys.com. This is a change of pace show. This is a change up. Okay, this is a special episode. If you're listening and it's Tuesday morning and you look up and you see oh my goodness, there's a new Real Sports Guys episode on iTunes. It's a surprise. We are doing an NBA special edition to talk about the upcoming NBA draft. And before we get going and talking about the show and dive right in, we got a real special combination tonight. First, on the right wing, filling the lane, okay, is Marcus the Game Changer. And for you listeners out there that's feeling like, wait a minute, isn't this what Marcus normally does? It may feel a little bit awkward having Phil T, myself, doing the intro. It's kind of like 3 or 4 years ago when Rick Carlisle started having Dirk run the pick and roll, but Jason Terry was having the picks. He was doing the picks, and Dirk had the ball. So it was a little bit uncomfortable at first, but it was effective. Game changer, how you doing tonight?
I'm great, man. I'm great. You know, I was going to liken it to you kind of playing that point forward role in the mold of an Anthony Mason without all the fighting.
Right.
You know.
That's right. Now on the other wing, okay, my man is just spotting up, waiting for the Rock. This young man has come to be a staple for our NBA talk. We had a conversation last Tuesday, and he wasn't part of it. And I even said on the air, it just doesn't feel right to have an NBA discussion without Justin Page. Justin, how you doing tonight?
Oh, man, Phil T, any better the role wouldn't be ready. You guys got me playing a starting role tonight, and I'm ready to give you starters minutes.
That's right. I love that. And, you know, Justin, quiet as is kept, saw Phil T back in the Anthony Mason days. I didn't like to pass the ball much, did I, Justin?
Hey, you guys look kind of a little bit alike, to be quite frank.
Yeah.
Got the same stature.
All right, well, let's jump on in. Now, for the listeners tonight, we're going to go hard in the paint. Like Justin would say, like Waka Flocka.
Hard like in Flocka the paint. Flame.
Okay. For 60 minutes. You got us for 55 more minutes. And we going hard. We might have one or two commercial breaks, but that's it. We're going to talk about the NBA draft. We're going to jump in and talk about Anthony Davis, the consensus number one pick. And the fellows are going to talk about what they think his role will be and the impact he'll have long term in the NBA. We're going to then fill out the rest of the top five. But then the fellows are going to give you a sleeper or two in this year's draft they think can really take some noise, make some noise when you take a step back 5 years from now and take a look at this draft. We're going to do the same thing. We're going to look at the 2009 draft, kind of reflect. It's been a couple of years, see what those players have done, and take a step back and see, you know, who did a good job in that draft in terms of franchises and who didn't. Next, we're going to talk about a team in this draft that if they played their cards right, they might be knocking on the door of the NBA playoffs next year, a team in the lottery. Then we're going to, again, use our hindsight. And over the last 10 years, actually 12 seasons, we're going to go back to 2000, and we're going to pick the top 10 picks in each pick, in each draft, for each slot. So we're going to look at who was the best second overall pick in the last 12 years, who was the fifth best overall pick, and go in the top 10 in that route. And then we're going to rank the top overall picks for the past 20 years. And this is going to get really interesting. Now, for those who have listened to us and have listened to Justin and Marcus go at it, it's unrivaled. These guys get after it. So with no further ado, let's get after it. Justin, let's start with you, my man. Talk about Anthony Davis. Sir. Talk about Anthony Davis and the impact that you think that he'll have early on.
Well, first and foremost, Anthony Davis is a man amongst boys out there. Given that he was the youngest player on Kentucky at 18, he was still the most dominant player on the court. No matter who they were playing against, he was the most dominant player on the court. If you think about it, he's a phenomenon. He rivals no one but LeBron James almost. The guy was playing point guard 2 years ago as a junior in high school. He went from 6'3 to 6'10 overnight, really over the course of a summer. However, overnight, this guy was a game changer, no pun intended. The guy can affect the game on the defensive end. He can affect the game without even touching the ball. I think Anthony Davis is going down in history as a top 10 number one overall pick and is a future Hall of Famer.
Game changer, what you got to say?
Wow. Wow, you like Anthony Davis. I like Anthony Davis too, just not that much. I agree. Great skill set, excellent elite-level defender. He's going to come in and have an immediate impact on defense right away in the league. That's one thing. I saw him play numerous times this season. Very hard-working kid. I think he's going to improve and improve and improve. I think he does have Hall of Fame potential. I don't know if he's a surefire Hall of Famer, but it's there. For me, the thing that gives me a bit of reservation from having him be a surefire franchise-changing player is just that, Justin, the fact that you brought up. 2 years ago, he was a nobody. 2 years ago, this young man was a 6'3 guard who wasn't on anybody's recruiting radar, who also wasn't even the best player on his own high school team. To go from that 2 years ago to basically being a nobody on the basketball radar to now being handed the keys to an NBA franchise and being expected to lead is hard. It's hard for even a guy like LeBron, who had been groomed for that role. It was hard for him to get to that point. And he had grown up since, you know, 10th grade with this in mind, as the chosen one, quote unquote. Is not an easy mental hurdle to get over, and that's the part of it that people have been getting after LeBron over the last 4 or 5 years about not having it. Davis having it as your franchise guy needs to have some of it. They may not have all of it, but they need to have some of it. And I think he does have the work ethic, which I think bodes well in his favor for him being able to max out his potential. That piece of it, though. Whatever franchise he goes to, whether he is the type of player that leads that franchise to multiple conference finals and multiple championships, I'm still waiting to see, because that is a big jump mentally to go from being just one of the guys to now being expected to be the lead dog.
I don't have facts to back this up.
So, Justin, the game changer says, you know, Anthony Davis is going to be a good player. But, Justin, you seem to have a bit of a stronger stance in terms of the projection that you think his career will take. Why so?
I do. I think that coming up in Chicago, Illinois, the rough streets of the mean shy, I think he learned a lot that LeBron didn't have the ability to learn. I think playing against top-notch competition in Chicago is far and beyond better than playing top-notch competition in Akron, Ohio. I also think that, you know, he's game changer mentioned that nobody was on, Anthony Davis was on nobody's radar. He had a full-ride scholarship to Cleveland State his junior year in high school. Not your top-tier program, but he had it. So that's somebody, and he had, and they saw potential in him at 6'3". To grow 7 inches in one summer to 6'10", and play in a pro-styled offense and program that John Calipari implemented at Kentucky, I think John Cal took him under his wing. I think he taught him everything he needed to know from a work ethic perspective, from a talent perspective, those strong low post moves. I think he has a wide array. I think he's going to be a mix between a KG and a Tim Duncan. He can stretch his defense at the four position by shooting the 10 to 12 footer like KG. He's going to have the ability to post up and have the fundamental skill set that Tim Duncan has, because he learned under John Calipari. Looking at this kid, he looks like he's been in the league years now. He did it on the college level, and I expect nothing less but constant improvement at the pro level. Now, I do think he needs to add some weight, add some size, get in the weight room, kind of like Kevin Durant needs to do. But once he does that, I think he's going to be unstoppable.
So offensively, Justin is saying KG or Duncan. Marcus, who's the player offensively you think that if Anthony Davis works, he has the potential to be this guy offensively?
If he maxes out, I see that maxes. If he maxes out offensively, I see. I think I'm. Me and Justin are in agreement. In agreement on his offensive potential. If he maxes out, I think I would go with a Pau Gasol Duncan mix, because I think he's a little bit more refined than KG. I think he's a better passer. Well, KG's an excellent passer. Let me not say that, but I think. You know, when I think of Powell, I think of that guy who can definitely face up, who's made a living facing up, but also has a very, very refined offensive game. And that's not to knock KG's offensive game. I think Powell's offensive game, his low post game, is a little bit more refined than KG. But KG, I think, is a better face-up shooter than Powell.
All right, fellas, let's move on. Let's talk about the rest of your next top five. So both of you guys have Anthony Davis, obviously, at number one. Marcus, let's start with you. Tell the listeners the rest of your top five of this year's draft.
All right, so the rest of my top five players, of course, I got Davis one. At number two, I have Bradley Beal, shooting guard out of Florida. I think Beal, coming out of high school, was viewed as a Ray Allen type of player. Watching him play, I saw that potential. I still think that potential was there. He had a rough first year. But I think also as a freshman, when you come into a situation where you're playing in a four-guard offense, he was asked to play basically power forward in that Florida system with three other guys who love to shoot. It can be tough. It can be a tough adjustment, especially for a guy who was the man in high school, got the ball a lot, has a lot of expectations. But if the talent is there, I think he has the most upside outside of Anthony Davis. The next player I got is Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, also known as 8-Ball MKG. I got Michael Kidd-Gilchrist in the house. And the reason I got MKG right there is just because he has a set of intangibles that I think, I think it's a lot to overrate him and have him as a number two or number three player. I think if he goes 4 or 5, I think that's perfect for him. I think he'll go into a situation where if he goes to Cleveland, I think that's a perfect place for him. He's not going to be asked to do a whole lot as far as scoring, which is not his forte right now, but he has the work ethic to improve on it. But he's also going to bring to that team a ruggedness, a toughness. I think he can be the Joe Dumars, Scottie Pippen to Kyrie Irving, Zeke. I think he can do that for them and give them a grittiness. And I think that grittiness fits with the personality of a city like Cleveland. So I think that would be a good fit for him. He's my third player on my board. At number four, this is probably going to be a guy who isn't on a lot of people's boards, but Kendall Marshall out of North Carolina, elite-level passer. I think he gets understated because of his perceived lack of athleticism and his inability to shoot. But I think, again, he's going to go into a situation because he's going to be a mid-teens pick where he's going to get put in a situation where he's going to be able to utilize his number one skill set, which is passing the basketball. I can see him coming in his first year averaging 6 to 7.5 assists, and then in the years after that going up to 8 or 9 assists a game. So I have him at number four. At number five, I have Harrison Barnes, small forward out of North Carolina. I think he's an elite scorer. Whether or not he can add any other dimensions to his game, I'm not sure, but I think he has a future as a scorer in the league. His shot from the perimeter is excellent, great consistency. He can put it on the floor a bit. It's not his strong suit right now. He still has to work on his handle, but I think he can get that done, and he'll be an effective three-man in the league, scoring three-man in the league for quite some time.
Now, game changer, you talked about Marshall at four, which you're right. I mean, that's a big surprise. Most people have him, you know, towards the end of the lottery. Do you think Marshall has benefited a little bit from Rajon Rondo's game, where teams may be looking for the next Rondo and not shy away from a point guard who can't shoot as well?
I think so. I don't know how he could not benefit from it, given that he fits that mold and there's a player who has a similar style and it works for that player. Again, I don't see him going super high, but when I looked at my top five, I tried to find guys who had elite skills, NBA ready skill sets, something that they did at a high level in comparison to other NBA players, and these were the guys that I felt embodied that. I think his vision is unbelievable. His ability to make passes. You saw when he was out how offensively challenged that North Carolina squad was, given they had three other guys who are probably going to be picked ahead of him. They still struggle to score. He has a point guard mentality. He's a leader. Those intangibles are in play as well. So I think, you know, having that, and his mechanics aren't terrible, where I don't think he can improve his shot. He definitely needs to be locked in the gym, shooting 18 to 20 footers all day. But I think the potential is there for him to have a very, very good and productive NBA career as a pass first point.
You listen to the Real Sports Guys on realsportsguys.com. This is Phil T, and we're here with Marcus the Game Changer and Justin Page, our NBA guy for Real Sports Guys. Justin, break down your top five of this year's draft for the crowd.
Well, before I break down mine, let me just say I'm astonished. I'm flabbergasted. I'm every word in the book that this guy's got Kendall Marshall at number four. I praise him for his gall that he has to put that guy this high. But I've got three other point guards above him on my board, and that's just at the point guard position alone. But I'm not here to debate my man Game Changer. I respect his views. Now I'll get into my top five. I got Anthony Davis at the one, which you guys heard my admiration for him. Number two, I've got the man who pretty much beasted Kentucky in the loss in the national championship game with 18 points and 12 rebounds. I've got the man who lost both his grandparents and his mother within a 3-week time frame and was slated with raising his younger sister, the guy who averaged 18 and 12 last year as a junior at the University of Kansas. I got Thomas Robinson in the number two. I think he may have more of a sudden impact, meaning next year alone, than Anthony Davis. I think he's going to make Charlotte a defensive contender in the East Coast, in the Eastern Conference. I think with him and Bismack Biyombo dominating the paint, they could be a real force to be reckoned with on the defensive side of the ball. Number three, I've got Washington Wizards going with Bradley Beal. Game changer, sung high praises for him. I think he's a lights-out shooter. I don't know that he's mature enough. His game is mature enough to warrant a number three, but from his skill set, it definitely looks to be the number three pick. You know, I can kind of compare him to Evan Turner, who was the number two pick a few years back, and, you know, I think that's Bradley Beal's peak. However, I do see him at the three spot. And number four or five, they could both flip-flop here or there. I got the Cavs taking Harrison Barnes. I know they were really high on him pre-combined. I watched the combine on NBA TV last week. He had the highest score from athleticism to jumping to feet quickness and all those drills that tells you about a player's intangibles. He was well-coached under Roy Williams. He's a sharp shooter, highly regarded coming out of high school. I really like Harrison Barnes to fit in well with Kyrie Irving and Tristan Thompson. Last but not least, I got Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, as my man Game Changer would say, MKG. I got him at the five spot for all the reasons that Game Changer had him at the three. And that's my top five.
So, Justin, you did not have Kendall Marshall in your top five, and Game Changer did.
I don't have Kendall Marshall in my top 15, Phil T. I've got Damian Lillard from Weber State as a better point guard than Kendall Marshall. I've got Austin Rivers out of Duke, son to the one and the only Doc Rivers, better than Kendall Marshall. I've got Atlanta Hawks point guard Jeff Teague's little brother Marquise Teague over Kendall Marshall. In my book, Kendall Marshall is lucky to be a top 15 guy. I actually got him going 17 to Dallas.
Okay. Marcus, I'm going to send it back to you, man. Defend Kendall Marshall.
I outside of Lillard, Lillard scores better than Marshall. But outside of the other two guys, I mean, I don't count Austin Rivers as a point. He's two shoe first. If he's going to play point, he's a backup point at best. He could start at two guard at some point in his career, but he's a backup point at best as far as being a point guard goes. Or on a point guard with another on a team, he could play point guard on a team with another ball handler, with another offense initiator. Teague, there's nothing that Teague does well or better than Marshall, nothing. Teague isn't a great shooter. Teague's an amazing athlete. That's about it right now. So I could give him Lillard because Lillard has some scoring pop. I don't know about Lillard as far as running a team and truly playing a point guard position. That's something that I was still I haven't seen from him. He hasn't proven that he can do. He's an electric scorer, though. He can put points on the board. I'll give him that. So Lillard, I think, has something on him. Rivers, I don't really see as a point at all. And it's not a knock on him. His game, he likes to score. That's what he likes to do. I don't know if he wants to be a point. I think he sees himself as a two. He has the size to play two. I think he's better fit as a two. That frees him up to be what he is, which is a scorer. Again, Teague, I don't think there's one thing that Teague does better than Marshall.
Austin Rivers has been a really interesting guy that we can talk about here for a few minutes. Austin Rivers was a guy that we were trying to figure out, would he be around when Boston selected, you know, in the early 20s? And all of a sudden, you've seen Austin pretty strong in the top 10. And in some draft boards, folks have him in the top five. Justin, what impact do you think that Austin Rivers will have?
Well, I think it all depends on the system that he goes to. And like Game Changer said, is he going to be a one? Is he going to be a two? What's his role going to be on a team? If he steps in and he goes to New Orleans at 10, playing with Anthony Davis, I think he'll have tremendous upside. I think him and Davis have the potential to be a CP3 Blake with Lob City. I think both of those kids are that athletic. I think that Austin Rivers, he's been groomed for this NBA game. I think he's been around the NBA since he was born. I think he grew up doing NBA drills, practicing with NBA guys. Therefore, I think he can play the point or the two. For Game Changer to tell me that he shoots too much, I think Derrick Rose shoots too much. I think Russell Westbrook shoots too much. But they're point guards, and they do it well. And I think Austin Rivers has the ability to have, you know, a similar impact on the game as those individuals I just mentioned.
Marcus, do you ever see Austin Rivers make an all-star team?
Nah. He'll be very good, but I don't think he's an all-star. Not at the point.
How about you, Justin?
I see him 5-6 years down the line. Absolutely, I see him as an all-star. I mean, you know, did Doc make any all-star games? Do we know? I don't have the research on it, but one or two. I'd imagine that Austin will be better than his dad, and his dad is was a hell of a point guard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right.
I think he's more athletic than a lot of these guys, and I just think he has the will to improve year after year.
Yeah, I think he'll be good. I think he'll be good in the same vein that Monte Ellis is good, the same vein that Brandon Jennings is good. But I don't see him, because to make an all-star team, somebody's going to have to be hurt, or he's going to have to outshine or Westbrook or Chris Paul or Deron Williams or Rajon Rondo or Derrick Rose, and he's not that.
So we've already started a little bit talking about sleepers for this year's draft. Justin, give me a guy that you see as a classic sleeper, a guy that may be overlooked by some teams, may be picked a little bit later than he really should be. Who's your sleeper for this year's draft?
Okay, let me just tell you now, I got three on the top of my head, but I'm only going to expound on one. I think Andre Drummond is one guy that's a franchise-changing center. You can't teach size. I think Sullinger's getting a bad rap because of his back. You know, he was phenomenal at Ohio State the last 2 years. So those guys could be easy sleepers, but I think the whole world knows about them. I'm going to go to a guy who I've got on my board at number 51, which is, you know, the last 25% of the draft. I got him 51 to Boston, playing behind Rajon Rondo at the point. And that's Tyson Taylor out of Kansas. Very quick, very aggressive, strong, bulky, 6'3" point guard. He had 4 years of college experience under Bill Self. You know, they kind of knock him in the NBA. The NBA scouts are knocking him due to his decision-making, maybe slightly out of control when pushing the break. But that's the same reason they love the guy, because he's aggressive, because he attacks the basket, and he forces transition defense to stop him. And if he does that in the NBA, given how open the floor is, he can find guys. If he learns to just make better decisions, see the court, I think this guy is going to be a steal in the second round.
Marcus, Tyshawn Taylor, is he more Jock Vaughn, or how Justin is explaining him?
You know, Tyshawn Taylor evolved as the season went on. He had some games at the beginning of the last season where the kid was a turnover machine. But by the end of the season, he evolved and became a better floor general. And I think that's skill numero uno for a point guard, is you got to be able to run the team. You got to be able to get us in and out of what we're trying to do. And if you can do that, I think you have an opportunity to play in the league. When you look at guys like Eric Maynard, for the Oklahoma City Thunder. That is his essential NBA skill, is that he can run your squad. You put him out there, he's going to get guys shots, he's going to create opportunities for your best players, and he's going to make sure the right guys get the right shots in the right spots. Taylor began to develop that. If he could go to a situation where he can chill for a minute, learn a position at the NBA level, I think he could have a 10-year career in the league, for sure. He's a player that I do like. I think he's more what Justin described. And again, don't hate on Jock Vaughn. Jock Vaughn did play in the league for about 10 years.
Okay.
So we won't call him Jock Vaughn, because Jock Vaughn had a decent. He was able to carve out a niche.
Yeah. All right, let's pay some bills.
Resistance Digital Solutions. Are you tired of running to the boys in blue? Are you done with listening to sales staff trying to upsell you technology that you don't need? We've all been there. So, what did the real sports guys do? We contacted Resistance Digital Solutions for all our technology needs. They are not there to meet sales quotas or make profit margins. They simply just want to sell you what you need at a fair price. From iPads to PCs to flat screens, TVs, or intricate home theater systems, they customize every solution based on your needs. Check out their website at www.resistancedigital.com or email them at sales@resistancedigital.com for your custom technology solutions today.
You listen to the Real Sports Guys on realsportsguys.com. We're here with our NBA special pre-draft edition here with Justin Page on one wing and Marcus the Game Changer on the other. I'm popping it back into the post to you, Marcus. Give us your sleeper for this year's draft.
My sleeper is Austin Rivers. The reason I went with Austin Rivers is because I think he's a guy who has top five potential. Like I said, you let him play the two, you let him be what he's going to be, which is a scorer, and I think you find yourself a very, very good two guard. If a team tries to force him to play the one or fit him into the mold of a one, an NBA level one, I think they're going to have a hard time. I do think, and I agree with Justin, he can do what a Rose or a Westbrook can do. I think, though, with Austin, I think the thing that people have to understand is in high school he wasn't a point. When he was in high school, I watched several of his high school games. He was not the point guard. He was a scorer. Mm-hmm. He's never had that responsibility of distributing the rock. Yes, his dad was a great point, but I don't think that he has that. I think he wants to be a scorer, and I think he wants to score. And I think if you put him in a position, again, I think he's in that mold of a Monte Ellis, who's a very effective, very good NBA player, puts up 20 to 23 points a game year in, year out. I could see Austin doing that within a couple of years. I think the fact that he's going to fall into the tens and early teens, I think it's because Duke tried to make him into a point. Coach K, one of the greatest coaches ever, tried to make him into a point guard, and it just didn't look like a solid fit. It didn't look like a good fit, even with the talent around him, even with more talent than the team that he was going against on a nightly basis, on a night-in, night-out basis. Duke was going to overwhelm you just on pure talent. It still looked forced. It still didn't look very natural. It didn't look smooth. There wasn't a rhythm to what they were doing when he was out there. Part of that's his fault, part of that's his teammate, part of that's the system. But I think if they would have allowed him to just be him and get buckets, I think we would view him very differently. I think we would view him the way we viewed him going into the season before he played his first games in Duke, at Duke, where he was viewed as a top five prospect. And people were debating, you know, him being able to possibly sneak in as a number one pick. And I still think he has that type of upside. I still think he has that type of a ceiling. Do I think he'll be an all-star? I don't know. I don't think he will. I think he's going to be one of those players that plays on some teams, puts up some numbers, has a great career, but I don't know if he ever cracks into that elite group.
We're just going to leave it there. Drop the mic on the stage and walk off. Most Def style. Fellas, let's move on to teams on the rise. Identify a team that's in the position to improve their roster in a meaningful way through the draft based on the number of picks that they have and also the order that they're picking. We'll start with you, Justin. Identify that team that you think can really make some noise in this draft.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. I wanted to start off with Boston here, but because Boston is who they are, I feel like that's kind of cheating real sports guys. Everybody.
Hey, I agree with you, Justin. I was going to go Boston. I like Boston, too.
I like them at the 21 and 22. They've got some real opportunities to improve on their front line. KG's getting old. You know, they can get a guy like a Fab Melo, you know. But I don't want to talk about Boston because, you know, ESPN will probably talk about Boston. I want to give you guys some just off the top that's flying under the radar. And I think Golden State Warriors. I know they're the laughing stock of the NBA. They're right up there with Charlotte and right up there with the Wizards as the cream of the crop for losers. However, Mark Jackson turned this team around from an attitude standpoint last year. They've got the number 7 pick and the number 30 pick. And if their scouts do their job, they'll sneak Jeremy Lamb in early, who's an athletic 2/3, who's a slasher, a scorer, coached under or played under Jim Calhoun, so he's got some toughness to him. They get him at the set at the seventh spot, playing alongside Steph. I love that pick at number 7 for Golden State. And then they can get their sleeper at the 30th spot out of University of Kentucky, Doran Lamb. I think he's going to be around to the second round. I think Golden State should take him a little bit earlier than most people have him. If you toss Doran Lamb and Jeremy Lamb into Golden State's starting lineup, because they got a decent core. Don't get me wrong. If Bogey gets healthy, David Lee's an all-star caliber power forward. Steph, if he gets that ankle right, I know there's a lot of ifs here, but you know, if they get healthy with those two players, I could see them making a noise and maybe coming within a game or two of that 8th seed in the West. We always know that spot is up for grabs. And I really think Golden State could get there under Mark Jackson's leadership and with these two players, Jeremy Lamb and Doran Lamb, at the 7 and the 30 spot.
Now, Justin, one of my concerns with Lamb, the Lamb kid out of UConn, the one out of UConn, Jeremy Lamb, is that it seemed like in a tournament last year, he was doing his thing as the second guy. He kind of stood out. But this year, with Walker gone, we didn't see him step up like we thought he would because he was the top guy and defenses were structured to stop him. That doesn't concern you much when he transitions to the NBA, huh?
It doesn't concern because he has an NBA-style game. Playing under certain systems and certain defenses in college, you can't just get off. Kind of like Austin Rivers. He couldn't just get off because he was the main guy. If everybody's targeting you and stopping you, I think Lamb was smart. He was letting other people try to make plays because he knew that the defense, he was kind of a decoy to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he took over when he had to or when he felt necessary, but I don't think, you know, I think he trusted his teammates a little bit too much to a fault. A lot of NBA scouts are saying that they think he's passive in that regard, but I think he's just being a good teammate.
Briefly, Marcus, what are your thoughts on Jeremy Lamb as an NBA player?
Jeremy Lamb, I saw the same thing you saw, PhD, which was a bit of not willing to kind of take over games. Overall, I don't have a problem with that. I'm not if I'm drafting him at 13, I'm not drafting him to be a franchise changer. He's going to be a 3 or 4th option on my team to start out. If he develops into a 2, great. If he develops into a really good 3, great. A really good 3 doesn't need to be super aggressive. A really good 2 doesn't need to be super aggressive. You know, so I think what people have to do is take that information and run with it and say, okay, that just means he's not going to be an alpha. Which is okay. You know what I mean? He's going to be a smart ball player. I think the kid's got a lot of talent. I think he's going to be an effective NBA player. I think he's going to be really good. I think he's going to be a solid starter for a long time. I think whoever gets him is going to feel like they got over on one. Because I think he's a good player. I think because he doesn't have that super demonstrative demeanor, he's kind of laid back. Teams are using that as a knock against him, being a top 5 or 10 pick, he still has that level of talent, though. I just don't think he has that demeanor to be you don't want to give him the keys to your franchise. He's not that kind of a guy. He doesn't have that kind of a mental makeup. But that doesn't mean he's not a good player. He's not going to be an effective player. I think if you can get a guy like that at 13, you've done yourself a good job.
Justin, Luol Deng, scale of 1 to 10, let's call him a 7. Lamb, his career, do you call him a higher than a 7 or lower than a 7 in relationship to Luol Deng?
Ouch. I go 6.5.
Okay. I go
6.5, but I'm not asking him to do more than 6.5. I got David Lee, Steph Curry, and Andrew Bogut for my dirty work. Like Game Changer said, he's my 4th option.
All right, Marcus, let's talk about your sleepers. Sorry, let's talk about your team on the rise. Who's the team you have that can make some noise in this draft?
So the team I have is the Portland Trailblazers. This is a team that you know, as early as, you know, the start of two seasons ago, was supposed to be where the Thunder are now. they're supposed to, they were supposed to be that squad.
You know,
that
I gotta
coming
bring
up.
It up. You know, I gotta bring it up. You know, I gotta bring up Greg Oden. For the listeners out there, Game Changer took one on the chin. He has been pulling for Greg Oden since Greg Oden left OSU. He's been pulling for him since he had his first microfracture surgery. He's been pulling for him. So go right ahead, man. Go on and talk.
Man, how many years did I draft that cat in my fantasy basketball league with, the, with my 14th round pick?
Yeah.
Like, nah, this gonna be the year, man. He gonna come back 2 weeks later.
Right.
Out for the season.
I mean, the expectations got lower with him too. At first, you know, I mean, this is a guy that can get 15 and 10, 2 or 3 blocks. I mean, by the end, you was just trying to get 15 minutes off the guy, you know?
Right. This guy doesn't even have a job now. Seriously, man. Seriously. I feel bad for him, man, because I think he had talent. His body just betrayed him in the worst kind of way. But that's the way the game goes, man. It's a harsh game. So at Portland, I think they can rebound and find that big man they've been looking for at number 6. They'd be lucky if they can get Andre Drummond. I think if they can get Andre Drummond at 6, that's where the risk and reward weigh out. I think if you can, because if you, and in our research for a later segment, looking back at the last 10 years worth of drafts from 2000 to now, the 6th pick is garbage most years. Like, seriously, the 6th pick is garbage most years. So if you can get a guy of Drummond's quality at the 6th pick, if he can be half, if he can reach half of his potential, you put him next to LaMarcus Aldridge, I think that adds a new dimension to that team. And then later on, with their next pick at number 11, I think that gives them some flexibility to go after a guy who I think also has a ton of upside, who is slipping because of a lack of a quote-unquote lack of a motor, and that would be Perry Jones, Perry Jones III, who, again, yes, he's not an alpha. You know, I think teams are looking at that alpha gene and saying, well, if he's not that, then I don't want to take him, or they're allowing it to hurt them, hurt players. Where I think if he's your third or fourth option, Perry Jones, I think you get a Lamar Odom type of player who can do a lot of things for you on the court. You just don't ask him to be the man because he's not going to be that for you. But I think if you put him in a situation where he's with a LaMarcus Aldridge, they got gritty guys like a Wes Matthews. They got guys with talent like a Nicholas Batum. They have a culture. I think if they can put some talent into that culture, I think you can see that team rebound a bit where they get back to the level that they were supposed to be at. No. But I think you can see that team taking some high upside guys and rolling the dice and seeing if they can get some high dividends. And those are two high-value guys, guys who they're swinging for the fences with those two guys. But I think if you're putting those two guys in a situation, either one of them, if you're putting them in a situation where they're the cornerstone of your franchise, you're going to be disappointed. But if you're putting them in a situation where they're playing a supporting role until they can develop, then I think you've found a diamond in the rough with either one of those players, and I think Portland has an opportunity to snag both of them without having to make any additional moves. But also with those picks, they could package in and move up. If there's another player that they like, rumors are they really like Brad Beal. If they feel like he's that guy, I just feel like they have a bunch of two guards right now. But if they feel like Brad Beal's that guy and they want to package those picks, get a player plus that pick, then maybe they can do that. And move up and snag a guy like Brad Beal. I could see them sliding up into that number 2 spot. Washington has kind of played their hand a bit with some of the trades that they've made. If you look at what Washington has done, they just had a recent trade where they traded Rashard Lewis to the New Orleans Hornets for Emeka Okafor and Trevor Ariza. If you start to look at it, you got Okafor at the 5, Nene at the 4, Ariza at the 3, and Wall at the 1. What's the one spot they need to fill in their starting lineup? The 2.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the
That's
best
right.
2? Beal. So, but they're at number 3, so they could be leapfrog. So they may have played their hand too soon in true Ernie Grunfeld fashion. He may have shot himself in the foot because they may get jumped for that set, especially when you know you got a team ahead of you who's shopping their picks in the Bobcats. So they may have put themselves out there a bit in a bad spot, because now people can know that they're going for Beal, and Beal is not going to get past three. So if there's a team that wants Beal, they're going to be calling. They just helped the Bobcats out. You just helped the division rival out, because now the Bobcats are going to be fielding calls, because everybody knows Washington's going for Beal at three. And if you want Beal, you got to jump up to two. And
yeah,
Portland may be able to do that.
Before I ask Justin if he buys and sells your Blazer rationale, I've got to share with the listeners my first time seeing Bradley Beal play. It was 2 years ago, 2009, I believe, during his junior year, during a Christmas tournament in December 2009-2010 season. Saw this kid play against a third-ranked team in the state in Illinois. Obviously, he's from St. Louis. This kid shot the ball seven times. He went to the free throw line and made 28 out of 30 free throws and ended the game with like close to 40 points, shooting the ball seven times. And that's just that explosiveness that he had off the dribble that we didn't get really a chance to see at Florida. And then a couple of months later, when he was under the U.S. under-19 team, he dropped 22 in a friendly that they played in Chicago against Brazil in like 18, 20 minutes. I mean, this kid can shoot it. He can do everything. But as I think Marcus mentioned earlier, that you know, we just didn't really get a chance to sustain at Florida because he was playing with two point guards at all times. So, Justin, do you buy or sell this Blazer theory that Marcus is throwing out there?
Well, I actually buy it, and I highly respect the in-depth knowledge that he blessed us all with one caveat. Portland Trailblazers and risk-reward is an oxymoron in my book. Let me tell you about Portland's risk-reward. It's all risk for them. They drafted Sam Bowie over Michael Jordan, Greg Oden over Kevin Durant, Bill Walton, the list goes on. Brandon Roy. All their guys either bust or they get hurt. You know, just dating back to history, LaMarcus Aldridge is the best thing they got going, and he got hurt this year. I love Portland's upside. They've been that team that's been knocking on the door for the past, since Kevin Duckworth and the boys. And, you know, I buy where Game Change is going with this. I love the analysis. I love Drummond. Don't love Jones that high at 11. Don't buy that at all. But Drummond at the 6, I love. You know, I could see him doing Austin Rivers at 11. I could even see him, you know, there's several things they could do at 6 and 11. They're in great position. I'm buying Game Changer, and the Portland Trailblazers making some moves in this draft.
There you have it, folks. Game Changer and Justin Page. We have went through the 2012 NBA draft. We got about 10 to 15 more minutes with you all, and we're going to do a rapid-fire style. We've heard the guys really expound on their responses, giving them a couple of minutes to go back and forth. But now we're going to cover a couple of topics, really quick-fire. I'm going to ask the fellas to be brief in your responses because we got a lot to get to. First, we're going to break down the best players in each draft since 2010 at each slot. So we're going to start at number 10. I'm going to ask Justin, over the past 12 seasons or 11 seasons, who's the best player to be selected 10th overall in the draft?
Best player. Call me a homer, call me what you want. I got Joe Johnson in the 01 draft as my 10th best player drafted since 2000. Number 10, drafted 10th since 2000. Joe Johnson with Andrew Bynum at a close second.
Okay. All right. Okay, so you didn't want to go with Jimmer Fredette last year?
Great college player.
Jimmer.
Great college player.
Yeah. All right, Game Changer. Who you got at number 10?
I got Joe Johnson.
All right, moving forward. Number 9, Game Changer. Who you got?
I got Amare, formerly the man-child, Stoudemire.
Stats.
Taken in 2002 at the 9th spot.
Couldn't agree more. Great minds think alike.
Number 8, Justin, who you got?
I got Rudy Gay, followed closely by Jamal Crawford.
Game changer.
Rudy.
Rudy. All right.
Rudy.
Man, we are in love so far. Number seven, who you got, Marcus?
I got Luol Deng, class of 2004. Man, it gets 17-7 no matter what.
Marcus, I need Luol Deng to give me 25 tonight. What are you going to give me?
She's going to give you 17-7, dog.
All right, I got a full lineup. I can live with him giving me 15. What is he going to give me?
He's going to give you 17-7, man.
Justin, who you got at number seven, my man?
Man, is there a full moon out tonight? Me and Game Changer never agreed this much.
Number six.
Something must be wrong. But I got Luol Deng as well, followed very closely behind him is Greg Monroe.
At number six, Justin, who do you have?
This was tough, man. Like I said, like Game Changer said, this is the worst draft number out of the top 10, in my opinion. I hate to say it. It's a guy who's not even in the league right now, Brandon Roy.
Wow. Brandon Roy. Marcus.
Agreed. Six is doo-doo. I had to go with Brandon Roy.
Number five, Justin, where you at?
Well, me and my better half, my lovely wife, she heard me prepping earlier today. And obviously D-Wade would be the people's number one choice. However, I am going to do a Justin Page classic and be the ultimate contrarian. I'm going with D-Man, the white American best NBA player, and Kevin Love. Give it up for Kevin Love. Kevin Love, 2008, out of UCLA.
All
NBA second team this year. First time All-Star. Let's go. Give it up for Kevin Love.
Now, you got to give us some more about Kevin Love over D-Wade. Because I know the game changer, you got D-Wade, am I right?
Absolutely.
All right. So, Kevin Love, give us some more on that one, Justin. Give us some more.
I'm going to give you
this. We need more.
I bet you do. If you look at where D-Wade is right now at 30 and where Kevin Love is right now at 24, I think Kevin Love has more upside. I don't think D-Wade ever in his career will average a double-double. I don't think he'll lead the league in scoring anymore. I don't think he'll lead the league in any statistical category. Or I think Kevin Love is going to average a double-double for the next, For the next decade, I got Kevin Love averaging a double-double. For the next decade, I think he's going to be in the All-Star game. I think Kevin Love is going to be the guy to lead Minnesota out of the sewers, something KG only did once when he went to the Western Conference Finals. I think Kevin Love is the real deal.
Let's keep it brief, Marcus. What you got?
Man, it was a lot of could-bes and might-happens. The boy ain't been to the playoffs yet. By this time in D-Wade's career, he's been to the playoffs a couple times. That's all.
Look at his team.
That's it.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me?
All right, fellas. Number four. Justin, who do you have at number four?
CP3.
Marcus.
Ditto.
Number three. Justin.
My favorite player in the NBA right now, Carmelo Anthony.
Marcus.
Yowza. I had Darren Williams. You know
right.
I'll be down with Carmelo.
Your turn, yeah, Marcus. D-Will? Go at it. Go at it, Marcus.
Hey, Carmelo is a one-dimensional phenomenon. Great scorer, top two scorer in the league. Maybe top three scorer in the league. LeBron seems to have figured it out. But he don't do nothing else, man. He don't do nothing else. He hasn't had any significant. Well, he had a little bit of success in the playoffs in Denver, but yeah, I don't see him being a key piece on a winning team. It's hard for me to see that. I can see Darren Williams being a 1 or 1A on a great team. I don't know about Carmelo.
Wow.
Listen to realsportsguys.com. This is Phil T here along with Justin Page as well as Marcus the Game Changer. We got about 5 or 6 minutes left. Fellas, let's move on to the number two slot. Justin, who do you have at number two?
Oh, man, I wanted to defend my man Melo, but I'll pass. Like I said, I'm not running the point. I got Kevin Durant at number two.
KD, who you got, Mark?
Durant.
And number one, last 10 years, Marcus, who do you have?
LBJ.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Can you say that again so I know where to mark the tape to record this one? Marcus, who do you have at number one?
The current defending member of the leader of the current defending NBA champion Miami Heat, LeBron James.
Okay. I'm just going to take it and move on. Justin.
Three-time MVP. Can I say more?
All right. So there you have it. The top 10 slots over the last 11 years. JP and the Game Changer have broken it down. Recently, ESPN came out with an article where they ranked the last 20 number one overall picks. So the person who was picked first in the last 20 NBA drafts, they slotted them. Justin, talk about your top five number one picks from the last 20 years.
Top five number one picks in the last 20 years. Well, the first two I think are non-debatable. You know, you got one championship and three MVPs in LeBron James. I got him number one. I think he's a transcending player and the closest thing to Kobe and Mike at this point in his career. So LeBron James number one, Tim Duncan number two. You know, best power forward I've seen play four championships. Can't go wrong there. Number three, the guy who changed the culture in the NBA. The guy who led the league in scoring four times, 11-time All-Star, 2001 MVP. 1997, Rookie of the Year, the one, the only, the answer, Allen Iverson, as my number three. And I don't even think that's debatable. However, I know the people will debate. Four, I got Dwight Howard, who you know, is the only arguable person I could see at three instead of AI. And I got D. Rose at five on that list.
All right, so recapping. Justin at number five, Justin has Derrick Rose at four, D12 at three, Iverson, which I know had to be tough for you to put Iverson number three at any list. Number two, Tim Duncan, and number one, King James. Marcus, your top five, starting at five.
At five, I had Dwight Howard at my fifth spot. At the fourth spot, I have Derrick Rose. At the third spot, I have Allen Iverson. At the two spot, I got Duncan. At the one spot, I got LeBron.
Please give this man a round of applause.
So there you have it, folks. Justin and Marcus just went over their top five players that were selected one over the past 20 years. Put it up on Facebook. I know we're going to have some discussions on this one. You all had Iverson, both at number three, but Marcus had D12 at fifth, and Justin had D12 fourth. Marcus, why so low with D12?
Man, part of it is I don't like the dude. I just, again, for me, man, mental makeup and how you go about your business, and not necessarily your personal business, but how you go about your business on the court, I prefer the way Derrick Rose approaches the game as far as being a leader, his style of leadership. If you're picking one, you're picking a guy that's going to change the culture of your franchise. I think D. Rose does that. I think Dwight Howard has a tremendous impact on your franchise monetarily. As far as wins and losses, I think he has a tremendous impact. But as far as developing a championship culture, I don't know if his personality lends itself to that. So that's why I gave D. Rose a 9.
All right, let's pay some more bills. We'll be back to wrap up.
Now we're going to get into our Resistance Digital Dog of the Week. Resistance Digital Solutions. Are you tired of running to the boys in blue? Are you done with listening to sales staff trying to upsell you technology that you don't need? We've all been there. So, what did the real sports guys do? We contacted Resistance Digital Solutions.
for all our technology needs. They are not there to meet sales quotas or make profit margins. They simply just want to sell you what you need at a fair price. From iPads to PCs to flat screens, TVs, or intricate home theater systems, they customize every solution based on your needs. Check out their website at www.resistancedigital.com or email them at sales@resistancedigital.com for your custom technology solutions today.
So you listen to the Real Sports Guys on realsportsguys.com. We're having a blast here. This is Phil T. I'm rolling with my main men, my main guys, and D Wills, Papa Smurf over here is, you know, it's kind of got his hands going back and forth. Like, I love it when a good plan comes together. RSG Creator is like, okay, y'all got a show going? Love it. So we rolling with Marcus the Game Changer and Justin Page, our NBA guy for Real Sports Guys. And we got a bonus 10 to 15 minutes for you all. And for this week, or for this special show, the Dog of the Week, we're doing a little bit different. We're going to come up with the most likely list. These players are most likely, these players from this 2012 list. We're going to have some fun with it. 2012 most likely list. Justin, who's the player in this draft that's most likely to get their GM fired?
Well, I hate to say it, fellas. I've been listening to you guys stroke this guy all show. I've been thinking of a way to switch up my pick just around on the fringe, guys, so you invite me back. However, I think Bradley Beal is going to be a bust.
Wow.
I think that he'll be out of the league in 5 to 7 years, let alone he'll be a journeyman. He'll be on his third team in 7 years like Deron Williams. Now,
wow.
Bradley Beal will be the first person to get their GM fired.
All right, Marcus, going at it, my man.
Hey, we got it on tape. I ain't got nothing. We got it on tape. We'll revisit it in a year or two.
I think he's overrated at the three spot, I'm telling you.
Yeah, Justin, I might have to record what you just said and put it as my ringtone, whatever you call. Okay?
Please do.
Please do. Justin, Bradley Beal will be a bust. Bradley Beal
right.
Be a bust, you know.
That's going to come back to haunt you. I think that's going to come back to haunt you.
We'll see. Kind of
right.
like Oklahoma City Thunder in 7, huh?
Woo!
Yeah. Hey, man, ghost man. I ain't afraid of no ghosts.
All right, Marcus. The 2012 player to be selected out of this draft who's most likely to get a key – to be a key piece on a championship team. Who is it?
I am going to go with Michael Kidd Gilchrist. MKG. Mm. 8-ball in MKG.
Okay. Justin, we got some extra time. I'm going to swing it over to you. Who do you have as a player out of this draft who's going to be a key piece on a championship team?
I've got Harrison Barnes. I like his shot-making ability. I think as long as he's not asked to do too much and he's got a solid point guard feeding him the rock, I like Harrison Barnes.
Justin,
couldn't get it done in college, but I think he's got the ability to get it done with the right situation in the NBA.
Justin, who's the guy in this draft that's going to be most likely to be on Basketball Wives?
You know, I struggled with this one. Until I seen each guy's profile pick, and I saw the size of Andre Drummond's earrings. I think this guy loves the limelight. He's out of New York City, you know. I had gotten into some trouble at UConn, so his past may be a little sketchy. I don't know for sure. I see Andre Drummond getting with a groupie, getting on Basketball Wise, and earning an extra check.
You heard it here first. You heard it here first on the Real Sports Guys on realsportsguys.com. Justin Page, our NBA insider, is checking out earlobes at this point. Okay? Earlobes to make his read. I'm with you, my man. I'm with you. Marcus.
Hey, I got one for this one, man. I got one for this one. My pick for most likely to wind up on Basketball Wives out of the class of 2012 is Fabrizio DeMelo, also known as Fab Melo.
the brother seems a little bit naive, and that's naive and groupies don't go together well, man. So I see some popping off him getting some groupie pregnant, and it's a wrap.
So you're saying
Fab Mello. He was second on my list.
You guys are saying Fab Mello is going to be showing up on a Barbara Walters interview like Mike Tyson and Robin Givens and not really knowing what's going on, just sitting there smiling.
Oh, man, brother ain't going to have a clue. He looked like that in some of Syracuse games.
All right, Marcus, the 2012 player in this draft is most likely to eat Chow, Burger King, T-Bell, themselves out of the league.
Man, this was a close one. And it came down between Andre Drummond and Jared Sullinger. And not because Sullinger is chunky, but Sullinger's one of those cats who, if he doesn't stay on a regimen, he's just going to blow up. Some people just like that, man. We all had that guy who we played with in high school or in college, and if he didn't stay, if he wasn't on the meal plan, if he wasn't, you know, on his job working out and lifting, the cat would put on like 20 pounds in a blink of an eye. Like, you blink and he was like 20 pounds bigger.
I'm that guy.
I wasn't talking about you, though, man.
And I think,
you know, Drummond is so big at such a young age, man. I could see him easily, and there are questions about his work ethic and things of that nature. So I could easily see him just not being with the program as far as being in the league and not really understanding it, given his age and maturity, and going all Eddie Curry on us. And before we know it, you know, he can't pass conditioning tests for like 8 years. When was the last time Eddie Curry passed conditioning test? Anybody know? Anybody got to, can we get Elias on the phone and get some stats on that? So I went with Sullinger, but Drummond was a close second.
You listen to the Real Sports Guys on realsportsguys.com. We got another 5 or 7 minutes left in this episode. And right now, the fellas, who's Justin Page and Marcus the Game Changer, we're having a little bit of fun to wrap up this NBA pre-draft edition, talking about the most likely list. We've already talked about the player selecting this draft, most likely to get their GM fired, most likely to be a key piece on a championship team, most likely to appear in an episode of Basketball Wives. And Marcus just broke down the player who's most likely to eat themselves out of the league. Justin, we're going to pass it to you. Who's the player in this draft who's most likely to make multiple All-Star teams?
Well, before I answer, let me ask one question. I'm sorry, Phil T. I got to do it. How you got Andre Drummond going 6th to Portland and them being the team that's going to have the most upside, and the guy's not going to be in the league in 2 years because he can't pass the conditioning test?
I said it was a risk-reward pick, man. He's probably the most boomer bust cat in this draft. And I think if he goes to the right situation, he can be a good player in the league. If he goes to, again, like I said, if you're asking him to be the cornerstone of your franchise, you're going to be in trouble. If you're asking him to be a good teammate and a member of a squad where you got some leadership already, which I think they have in Portland, they already have an all-star on that roster. I think he has a role model to follow, somebody who's done it in the league. I think he'll be all right. But if you send him to Washington, or you send him to Toronto or someplace like that, I don't know what you're going to get.
Crap. No, I completely understand. I had the same analysis. I only didn't put him there because I had him so high on my board. But I understand you wholeheartedly. Sorry, Phil T, to deviate from the plan. Multiple All-Star teams. I got Austin Rivers.
Huh. Okay.
I got Austin Rivers.
Marcus.
Yeah. I got Bradley Beal. Sorry, Justin. But it's on tape, right? So if I'm wrong, it's on tape.
One of us is going to be right. One of us is going to be wrong.
That's the way it usually works between the two of us. There's no in between.
Hey.
There's no gray area.
Nah, it's not, man. That's what I love about it, though.
All right, Justin, the player this draft most likely to average 20 points a game their rookie year.
This was a tough one for me, but I like Thomas Robinson, my number two overall pick. I think he's going to be given the green light in Charlotte. I think he's going to take some bad shots. He's going to take some good shots, but he's going to shoot it enough that 20 will be a cakewalk for him. He may shoot 30%, but he'll score 20.
Marcus, who's going to get you 20 points a game as a rookie out of this year's crop?
HB, Harrison Barnes. He winds up going to a team like the Cavaliers that are in desperate need of another scoring option next to Kyrie Irving. He can get that done for you, man, especially playing with a point guard who can set him up the way Kyrie will. You know, I think Barnes can drop 20. Again, scoring is his thing. He has to develop some other things, but scoring, he does that. He can get you 20.
Marcus, who's going to get you 10 rebounds a game as a rookie?
As a rook, I know it's the easy one. I got to go with Mr. Davis, man. All the stars are aligned for him to do his thing. I expect him to get, you know, double-digit rebounds and 2 to 3 blocks a night his first couple years while his offense continues to develop. I think that's where he's going to have his initial impact, and his offense will come along around year 3.
You listen to the Real Sports Guys and RealSportsGuys.com, where we're wrapping up the show here. We got a couple of more minutes. The fellas right now are going through their 2012 draftees most likely to list. Justin, out of this list of the draftees in 2012, who's most likely to be an All-NBA selection?
I hate to be redundant. Game changer got Anthony Davis getting 10 rebounds a game. Me personally, I got John Henson, but I got to go Anthony Davis, make All-NBA. I mean, he's got that kind of talent.
How about all defensive team?
I hate to do three in a row, but three's a charm. Anthony Davis. He changes the game without even touching the basketball.
Marcus, who wins the dunk contest?
Who wins the dunk contest? Man, I got a sleeper for you, man. Kid Mo Harkless. Watch out for him. St. John's University.
Wow.
Coming out his freshman year. 6'8", lanky, got hops. It sounds like a really good combination for a dunker.
Wow.
Man, I mean, you went way deep in the crates on that one. I mean, this is when a dude comes up to the DJ. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. It's grinding down like, hey, man, I need you to play something real special for me. I'm out of my league with this young lady over here. I need you to give me something. And the game changer just came up with who?
Mo Harkless.
All right, we're going to move forward. Justin, who's the rookie most likely to win the dunk contest?
I got Jeremy Lamb out of UConn. Did y'all see what he did in the first game of the year this season?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. Nice piece of work right there.
Yes, sir.
All right, I'm going to give both of you guys a chance to respond to this one, but out of the guys that's going to be drafted this Thursday, who's most likely to leave their team for a bigger market? Justin.
I got to go Game Changers guy, A-Ball and MKG. I think he's going to get drafted 5 to Sacramento. I think he don't want to deal with the knuckleheads of Tyreek Evans and DeMarcus Cousins. I think there's not going to be enough basketballs to go around, and they won't give him the extension they deserve because they paid Tyreek and Cousins too much, and I think he's going to say, you know what, I'm out of here.
Marcus, who you got?
I got Harrison Barnes. This boy already has a logo. He had a logo while he was in North Carolina. The kid is he's very image conscious. He's very market conscious. He's very brand conscious. If he gets drafted number 4 to Cleveland or number 5 to Sacramento or even number 6 to Portland, get an apartment. Don't buy a house.
And last but not least, who is most likely to get it, to get it in with a Kardashian.
Austin Rivers, man. He got that Drake look going on about him, man. His daddy's gay. He come from money. He's got that long dough. He probably is going to be mentioned in a couple Jay-Z, Kanye raps in a minute. So I'm going to go with Austin Rivers, man. I think he's going to knock down a Kardashian if anybody will.
JP.
Well, I got to give Game Changer credit. Austin Rivers was second on my list, but it came down to one thing. Anthony Davis, he's going to have the most money out of all.
So he got that whole eyebrow thing, man.
Hey, money doesn't matter. If you got money, it doesn't matter with them girls.
You look like Bert from Sesame Street.
His wallet doesn't, though. That's what they look at. That's how they evaluate talent.
All right, closing thoughts. Justin, I'm going to let you go first, my man.
Closing thoughts. I had a great show, great time, fellas. Looking forward to Thursday night. Game Changer, you always challenge me. I appreciate it. Can't wait to do it again.
Marcus, closing thoughts.
Hey, same to Justin. Thank you for joining us, man. Thank you to the listeners who are downloading the podcast, checking out the RSG Drive special. Props to Phil T for point guarding this game, getting his Avery Johnson on, floor general, the little general out there directed traffic. Appreciate that. Final thoughts on this draft class, man. This is a class where I think there's more stars in it than people are giving it credit for. I think there are a lot of guys who have NBA games who were trying to fit in college. I think a lot of these guys would have been better served coming out straight out of high school because their games are more pro-ready than college-ready. They're not system cats. I think we're going to be surprised in about 3 years when we look back at this class at how many really quality players have come out of this class. I think it's a really good crop, and I think it's super deep where you got teams drafting at the end of the first round, the Miami Heat, the San Antonio Spurs, the Boston Celtics, perennial championship contenders who are going to come away with solid, solid players and be able to get some young pieces into some established rosters.
It's been fun. Real Sports Guys 2012 NBA pre-draft show. Want to thank Justin for coming on. Want to thank Marcus for filling the wing, playing off the ball the whole show. We'll be back on Tuesday, regular time, 8:30 Central. Myself, Marcus, and D. Wills. And on Wednesday, Justin Page, the other Page, RJ Page, his brother, will be having their baseball show come on Wednesday at 8:30 inside the park with Hank and Michael. Until then, RealSportsGuys.com.